Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And at the bottom of this hour, the third, we got Burton Challa, who's the head of sports at Lineage. And he was a producer, Rob, on a documentary about Vince Carter. Now, you know what I say about Vince Carter, Rob. And let me know if you disagree. Vince Carter, with all due respect to Dr. J, Dominique Wilkins, and Michael Jordan, of course, Vince Carter is the best in-game dunker in the history of basketball. That's my take. What do you think about that?
He's a great dunker. I don't know about that. That's a great it's hard to argue. You say in-game more so than
In-game. Yeah. Not I mean, you can make an argument for dunk contests too, but I'm talking about in-game. I mean, okay. The stuff he did in Toronto, when he was young, ridiculous. So go ahead.
No. I just wanted to get a score update. Is it 3-0 Atlanta?
Dodgers got a rally in them. Relax.
No, I'm just asking about what the score is right now.
Yeah, 3-0. They got a rally in them.
Okay.
All right. We are the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. And Rob, let's go here. David Carr, brother of Derek Carr, played in the league. Now, of course, an NFL analyst with the NFL Network. He wrote a column recently talking about Pat Mahomes. And I figured you'll like this one because he's kind of along your...
against Pat.
I never said you had anything against him, but you've called him out. You've talked about he's got an interception problem. That's all I'm saying.
Right now, just right now he does. Right.
Okay. Well, anyway, David Carr wrote this column and he is saying that the downside of Mahomes' game, you know, the recklessness I've talked about, is starting to catch up with him. All right, I don't know. I mean, we can't read this whole thing, obviously. But he basically says his greatest strength is his ability to make so many plays off schedule. All right? But his proclivity for making those plays can also get him into trouble. When you watch Mahomes, he doesn't have great footwork or mechanics. While his out-of-this-world talent has lifted the Chiefs to back-to-back Super Bowl appearances, the downside of his game is starting to catch up with him, as evidenced by his 8 interceptions and 1 fumble loss this season, including 7 picks in his last 4 games. So there he is. He does throw this in there too, Rob. I feel like Andy Reid is hesitant to rein Mahomes in, because despite the recent struggles, the Chiefs' offense can be incredibly efficient and nearly unstoppable when Mahomes is in rhythm. He says it's similar to facing Brett Favre, Rob. Defenses knew he was going to give them 3 or 4 real opportunities to make a play, but he'd also give his own weapons 20 opportunities of their own. So there it is. David Carr saying that, you know, the downside of Mahomes is catching up with him. And Mahomes has actually said, too, he needs to be, you know, cut down on the interceptions. Let's put it that way. So your thoughts?
I don't think that that's a off-base, crazy column. He didn't say Mahomes is a mirage, or he's not good, or he's not a great player. He's got immense talent. But I think he's right when he talks about Mahomes sometimes being too cute and taking some risk. And we had talked about this before, Chris. This isn't new. But we brought up the number about the risky passes that he had gotten away with, you know, in his first couple of years, where guys just didn't catch the interception, or they put their hands on it, but they couldn't, you know, or it was thrown their way and whatever. They didn't make plays on it. But this has always been a problem. And it just seems now because the interceptions are so glaring. And he brought it up, 7 in the last 4 games. That's not Patrick Mahomes. He only had 6 last year, all of last year.
5 the year before.
And 5 the year before. He had the accuracy of Aaron Rodgers when it comes to taking care of the football, Chris, right? Like he just doesn't throw the interceptions. And that's gone away a little bit. So now you start to see some flaws. You start to see some stuff. And I think the criticism he's getting is fair. Not that he's not a great player or he's not super talented, but that there are other things that he needs to clean up and get better. It is unbelievable. 4-0 now, Atlanta.
Wow.
I don't think there's a downside to having Pat Mahomes. So I think the column's off base. I don't think he's thrown a bunch of passes in the past that should have been intercepted.
Let me just give you the number. It was 23 turnover-worthy plays last year, but only 8 actual turnovers. So that's a stat that they
rank?
Keep.
Where does
that's
that
a
rank?
Stat where they, I don't know, but that's the
well,
stat
we,
that
we
they,
need to know where that ranks.
That's a stat that
top
they keep.
Three?
Is it top
when
three?
I say,
okay.
When I say reckless, I mean throwing no-looks. Now, Matthew Stafford does it too. But throwing no-look passes, throwing across his body, things like that. Throwing in the coverage sometimes because he trusts his ability to get there and even in his receivers to make the catch. So that's what I mean. But, you know, if we just go to any sport, Rob, the game of basketball, most of the all-time leaders in turnovers are guys like Magic Johnson, James Harden, Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, I mean, the guys that were funky. Like, this comes with the territory. And so I got no issues. Now, if he's going to start throwing the ball all over the place like Jameis Winston a couple years ago, that's one thing. But I'm not – the Patrick Mahomes is the least of my concerns when I look at the Kansas City Chiefs. He still leads the league in touchdowns. He's on pace to throw 51 touchdowns. Would be the second most in history. So I think all it's actually a compliment to him because all of this hand-wringing about, oh, my gosh, he's turning the ball over so much, this and that. It's just saying we expect absolute greatness from Patrick Mahomes. And when we don't get absolute greatness, we wonder what in the world is going on. We panic. Dude's averaging 314 yards a game passing. 18 touchdowns, like I said, leading the league. 69% completion percentage. I mean, he's got eight interceptions. Lamar Jackson, who we're all raving about, has 5 interceptions. Doesn't throw it nearly as much, but has half the touchdown passes. 9. So I don't see a downside to having Mahomes. He's not perfect. But they're 3-3 because their defense can't stop anybody. They did look okay against Washington, but hey, that's Washington. They don't have much of an offense. But they're 3-3 because the defense, I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a bad fumble against Baltimore, I believe, or was it? Yeah, Baltimore, I believe it was Baltimore.
Yeah, but in the Buffalo
and then
game,
interceptions. Buffalo. He's had some turnovers, yeah. The second interception was atrocious. Or no, that was Washington. His second interception was atrocious. You know, but some of the interceptions, too, were thrown and hit Tyreek Hill in the bad spot, I guess, the hands.
Yeah, so, but against Buffalo, he had two interceptions and a fumble, which cost him that turned that game around. And I get your point about the defense, but he's just – it's not that he has to be perfect. It's just that he hasn't been what he had been. I mean, you were so high, and I think all the people – I know plenty of people
from
Kansas
City. I'm
still
high on him.
No, I know. You think he's Michael Jordan, and maybe you've been a little premature.
Jordan has potential.
And I think
I mean,
that
he's been to the Super Bowl twice in 3 years as a starter. He's won a Super Bowl MVP, in 3 years as a starter. So, yeah, he's off to a Jordan-esque. I mean, Michael Jordan wasn't doing this winning like this earlier in his career. He was putting up tremendous individual numbers, but he was 1-9 in the playoffs over his first 3 years. And Rob, you can attest to it. People were saying, yeah, he can fly. Come fly with me. He's got the fresh sneakers. Can he win like Magic and Bird? So yeah, he's actually ahead of Jordan-esque potential.
Yeah, I just
think, I mean, as what he's accomplished.
But I think you're like acting as if he's just still playing great and nothing has changed. I think that he's not that same quarterback that you're talking about. And it doesn't mean that he's a bum. But do you think he's the same quarterback that when he won the MVP?
Yes.
Oh, I don't.
I think he's throwing a few more interceptions. The year he won MVP, he had 12 interceptions.
Yeah,
now, he's obviously on pace to have more than that.
He's on pace to have 20, Chris. But
he's also on pace to throw 51 touchdowns.
Wait a minute. He's got eight in six games, and we're talking about a 17-game season? All right, let me just ask you this. If he finished with 22 picks, you would think like there's nothing wrong because he had 48 touchdowns. That would be like
He's going to finish with 22 picks.
That's not – I'm saying a pace. We're just a pace.
He's on that pace. Right. I don't think it's going to continue.
I get it. But if he finished with over 20 –
Well, if it happens, we'll talk about it when it happens.
Okay.
But I don't think he's going to do that.
There we go.
I'm just saying. That's what you say a lot of times. I'm not talking about hypotheticals.
All I'm saying is I think he hasn't played the same. That's why they're writing this article. If these were people before, everybody thought he was going to win the MVP every year after he won his first one.
Nobody thought that.
Yeah, people were going crazy.
Every year, Rob, stop it.
Yep, every year.
Just because Cliff Kingsbury made a crazy statement that had to be tongue-in-cheek. You're not going to take that and act like,
no,
really? He really thought that Kyler and Pat Mahomes were going to win the MVP every year.
That's what they thought. That's what the league was saying.
Tom Brady's got what, three? And he's the GOAT? I mean, come on.
Maybe he ain't the GOAT. Sorry about that.
Nobody, Peyton Manning's got, I think, five? I mean, nobody's winning it every year. Stop it. Yeah, Mahomes is throwing more interceptions. He's on pace to throw more than ever. But he's the least of their worries.
He's still the best
quarterback in the league.
In your opinion, I don't think everybody.
I think most people's opinion.
Nah, I think that's your opinion.
Who you think is the best? I bet you in the poll, most people
Lamar
would say
is the
Pat
best
Mahomes.
Quarterback. The way he's playing right now, he's the best quarterback.
Nobody says
right now. I'm talking about right now.
The best quarterback in the league is Patrick Mahomes.
No.
If people were starting a team, they take Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Not everybody, but more people.
Some people would take Justin Herbert. Some people would take definitely Justin
You'd
Herbert
have a
would
few
be in
guys,
there.
A few guys would get a
Not
pick.
Everybody would
but
take
I
Patrick
bet most,
Mahomes.
No, I never said everybody. Most people would take Patrick Mahomes. I still see most people saying he's the best in the league. And he's leading the league in touchdowns. I mean, we can only – if you want to just focus on the negative, the interceptions,
it's not
then we can focus
on
the fact
you
that
take
Lamar
it all
Jackson only has nine passing touchdowns. Let's focus on that.
He's playing much better, and everybody
He's
knows
He's playing well,
it.
But he fumbles a lot. That's a problem for Lamar.
That's fine, but Patrick Mahomes fumbles as well, Chris. He's
not
fumbling.
Like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he handles the ball more. He's running, maybe because he gets
hit. He handles the ball more.
No, I'm
they
talking about running.
They
I'm talking about running with the ball. You could get it. You could fumble. You get hit.
Running backs don't fumble it as much as Lamar. He's got a fumbling problem.
And Patrick Mahomes has an interception problem.
Okay,
right?
Then we're doing a segment on Lamar?
Yes.
I mean, all you want to do is sing Lamar's praises.
I love Lamar. I told you that.
I know. You need a cigarette and some baby oil. Odd Couple, 877-99 on Fox.
Thanks,
Your
Kawhi.
Turn to weigh in. Does Patrick Mahomes have a problem? How concerned are you about his play as of late? Is it time to reassess his career trajectory? We'll continue the conversation with you next. It's Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple. Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, on a functified Worship Wednesday. That's right. Don't think you can't get funky for the Lord. All right, we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And don't let age beat you, gentlemen. Go get M-Drive. It's the supplement for driven men that supports healthy testosterone levels and boosts your energy. Visit mdriveformen.com for 20% off with this promo code, ODDCOUPLE. Don't let age beat you. Go get M-Drive. 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in. Is it time to change the sky-high trajectory or projections for Patrick Mahomes? Your turn to weigh in.
All right, let's kick it off with Roger in Kansas. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Roger?
Oh, I was just calling in to say that I think Patrick will pull out of it, and I think he'll be fine. I mean, he's not going to probably won't win a Super Bowl every year, but nobody ever does.
Absolutely. Okay. Brady went 10 years without winning one.
Yes, exactly. And he's the GOAT.
He's not the GOAT. Stop saying that.
He's the GOAT. Good call. Good call.
Thanks for the call, Roger. Appreciate you. What about Al in New York? You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What up, Al?
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Day one listener, first time caller.
Wow.
Man, thank you. Don't make it the last.
We appreciate you.
Yes,
where are you in New York, Al?
Upstate Newburgh, like an hour from the Bronx.
I know Newburgh. What college is in Newburgh?
Orange County.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of small colleges.
Yeah, I know Newburgh. I know that. That's cool. Thanks. We appreciate the support. What you got?
Of course. Listen, I think Mahomes will be fine. The season has to flush out. But I just want to say Lamar Jackson has 5 fumbles and 5 interceptions. That's 10 turnovers, more than Mahomes this season. So I think we should let flush out. But I think Mahomes will be fine. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Appreciate it,
Al. Good call, man.
Steven. In Florida, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. If I remember, I think Steven is a New Yorker living in Florida. Am I wrong?
No, I'm not. I'm not from New York. And,
okay.
Rob, I just got 2 words for you.
Yes.
Stop it!
I knew it was going to be that.
Go ahead, Steven.
Lamar Jackson is not the best quarterback in the NFL today. It's Patrick Mahomes. And now let me get to my point. He will be fine. If that defense just needs to improve him, he'll be all right.
What is the defense? Wait, maybe he's putting the defense in harm's way.
Oh,
by
stop
giving,
it, Roger.
Wait
you
a minute.
Watch the
I'm
game.
Talking
he
to Steven.
Him in harm's way.
If he gives up the ball if he in his own territory, you're going to blame the defense for trying to stop the opponent if they get the ball at the 22? Steven?
Well,
the defense is horrible.
I know
he's done
it's
it
bad,
a couple times. There's no doubt. He's done it a few times.
Okay, I'm
but
just
that
saying.
But that ain't the problem with the defense, Rob. Teams, they couldn't hold Philadelphia.
Philadelphia
did not punt against them.
And he's wrong
scored
about
six
that.
Out
Steven.
Of their 8 touchdowns.
Steven.
Eight possessions. He
Chris.
Has fumbled 5 times. He hasn't lost 5.
All
but
right.
He's fumbled 5 times.
No, but he's only – no, you don't count that. He's fumbled
he's
3 times and 5 interceptions. He has 8 turnovers, and Mahomes has 8 interceptions and 1 fumble. Mahomes has more turnovers.
Okay.
He has enough turnovers
in
the bakery.
He has twice as many touchdown passes.
All right, so that's all I'm saying. Don't
and
make it like –
twice as many touchdown
no,
passes.
No, but Steven said he had 10, and it's not true, okay? A fumble is when you give up the football. You can fumble.
No, it's a fumble, but you lost a fumble. They
yes.
keep fumbles and fumbles lost.
Yes,
so it's
but,
not a,
but
it's
a fumble is not
a
turnover if you don't give
right.
up the football.
I agree with that.
Okay.
So he's got 1 fewer turnover than Mahomes, but you want to sound the alarms about Mahomes throwing the
sound
ball all
the
over
alarm.
The place.
Sound
Mahomes
the alarm!
And Mahomes has thrown twice as many touchdowns.
Come sound on. The if the Chiefs don't make the playoffs this year, sound the alarm! Are they going to make the playoffs?
The Chiefs?
Yeah.
Man, I'm not even going to
sound the alarm. Okay, I'm asking.
Of course. Of course. They're fine. It's a lot. Like I said, it's really actually a compliment to Mahomes because this just shows when he doesn't throw for close to 300 and 3 touchdowns, people are like, oh, my gosh, what's going on with Mahomes? Justin Herbert just had a horrible game. Nobody was tripping because we don't expect that from him.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest, look, I'm going to keep it real, longtime friend of mine. Actually, when the NBA All-Star Game was in Los Angeles, I don't know, was that 2017 or something like that? He was my – Dwayne Wade holds an annual spades tournament.
I remember that. I didn't go. Remember that? And you wound up winning.
Yeah, you and I were hanging out at that – we went to the Jordan party that year.
Right, right.
Right. And me – and this was my partner, Burton Chawla. Now, he comes up to me. He's an Indian. And he came up to me and was like, yo, man, let's play in the – I don't think he said it like that, but let's get in the spades tournament. I said, man, I ain't never met nobody that ain't black. That
right,
is
played spades.
Played spades, right? He's like, trust me, I've played with Stuart Scott. I'm legit. I said, all right, come on. And I got to admit, he was nice. I was Jordan. He was Pippen. And we took out everybody. We took out Kyle Lowry. We took out Wade and Gabrielle. We everybody came our way and got sent home, and we won the championship. And he's my man, but he's producing now this documentary on Vince Carter called Vince Carter Legacy. Burton Chawla, what's up, man?
What's
How
happening?
Are you?
I'm excited to talk to you guys, Chris. Rob, some of that stuff was truthful, and some of that stuff was.
I know, you know. I know Chris is like prone to, you know. That's the true story about him leaving the New York Times. You know, he's prone to add stuff to the story. You know what I mean?
The truthful parts were we won the tournament. We did send.
He did convince me, and he had to convince me he could play.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, he was like 3 minutes before the tournament starts. He's like quizzing me about scenarios,
right?
And I was getting irritated at that point because
you were like,
What he left out was I invited him as I was already in the tournament. I invited him as my partner, not the other way around. But we did have a good time. We did eliminate Wade and Gabrielle Union. Chris, if you remember, I tricked Gabrielle Union into playing a card earlier than she wanted to.
Right.
And Wade got upset. I was playing a lot.
They were mad at each other.
I was playing a lot of possum.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of like, you know, like Spades is a game where you talk a lot, right? You shit talk a lot. But I was playing it the other way. I was almost pretending like I didn't know how to play. And
right,
playing cards differently, and we did win the tournament. It was a really, really fun night.
I'm gonna be honest, Rob. He was Jordan. I was Pippen. He was like
it.
Four steps ahead of everybody. I mean, it was ridiculous.
No, you know
In
what?
Fact,
what you
so
know?
Much so that the next year, when I wasn't at the All-Star game, right, Burton wanted to get in the Spades tournament. They wouldn't let him in.
I got
Wade
boycott.
Would not let him in.
Oh, that ain't right. That ain't right.
I know
right.
It was weak, but that's how it was. Yeah, that's how dominant we were. But anyway, Burton, let's get to this. It looks great. I saw the trailer. I say Vince Carter's the greatest game dunker ever. Better than Dr. Yep. J, better than Dominique, better than Jordan. I got him number one. But tell us about this documentary. What are we going to get from it? I mean, what is the main gist of it? Because obviously he had this long career, so it could have went a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, so it's, you know, he's the longest tenured player in NBA history, more than Kareem, right? 22 years in the league. And he's had an interesting arc from superstar putting Toronto and Canada on the map to this great in-game dunker to this great dunk contest to all-star. I mean, he was really, really good with the Nets. Dare I say, journeyman, and then he was role player, you know, coming off the bench for Phoenix, coming off the bench for Dallas, and then he grew into a mentor, whether it was in Sacramento or Atlanta. So he's had this interesting arc. I don't know if a lot of guys have had that kind of arc with that bright of a star. And I think the other differentiating factor is there's been documentaries about Vince. I think the most famous one before this one was the Carter Effect, that, you know, his impact on Toronto and Canada. But this is the only film where he's an executive producer. And what I mean by that is he was involved. He sat down with us. He was involved in the creative process. And that's different for Vince because he's not a self-promoter. In an era where guys are putting out their own content and guys are owning their own production companies, that's not Vince. Like, it took some convincing to convince Vince to be a part of this and be a part of this in a way that we needed him to be, in a way that he wanted to be in. And so those were some of the differentiating factors. He's really focused on his NBA career. We do, you know, go into college. We do go into high school. But it's really about his impact in the NBA. Couple of promo things. Chris, I got to promo it, right? It's available on Crackle TV for free. Vince Carter Legacy. So check it out at your leisure. But really proud of it. Really proud of Vince's involvement. And there's a funny story on how I got Vince to be a part of it. Again, not a self-promoter. So it took a lot of convincing. I had to spend a lot of energy trying to convince him to be a part of this film the way we needed him to, because we didn't want to do it any other way. And the way he was convinced was through his mom. He kind of gave me advice and said, go talk to my mom about it. And then, Chris, you know me pretty well. I'm pretty relentless. And, you know, I wouldn't leave her alone. I kept talking to her about why this would be a great project. And kudos to her. She convinced him that this was a legacy opportunity for him. So I had to go that angle to get mom. That's the behind the scenes of how we got Vince involved, because I think without Miss Michelle, without his mom, I'm not sure if he does the project.
This is as great of a player as Vince was, I think he did hurt his legacy a bit by sticking around too long and having those coming off the bench. You talked about being a mentor. He might have been better off being an assistant coach around with the young players. I just think that there's a whole generation. When you play that long, there's a lot of kids and people who don't know him as that guy. And I think that could hurt him when people look at his career and look at his career numbers. The reason why guys don't take play when they want nights off, don't play you know, just 15 minutes is because they don't want their scoring averages to go down. So they want to miss the whole game. And Vince basically undid all those numbers he put up early in his career.
Well, so I would argue, I mean, it's a fair point. And there's a media member, I think it was Howard Beck, who makes the point of, you know, his career averages, you know, dipped because of what he did towards the end of his career. But Vince didn't care about that. Vince cared about the game and cared about mentoring. And then I would also argue, it's not really going to matter. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? Like, I don't think there's an argument there about, you know, whether or not he makes the Hall and whether or not he's a first ballot. And I think that, more importantly, like, you know, as I got to know Vince a little bit throughout this process, he cares about playing basketball. That last season, you know, he said out loud a few times, hey, while we're scheduling the interviews with me, just be cognizant of, like, if I don't play a couple of nights in a row, I'm not going to be in the best mood. Like, I want to play. Like, he didn't – his intent
like,
was
this is after he retired?
No, I'm talking about his last season.
Oh, okay, while his last season. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
no, he knew that last season was going to be his last season. He had predetermined that. He kind of went into it with that mentality.
Right, right. I remember that.
But, I mean, to Rob's point, I get it, but it doesn't affect his status as a Hall of Famer.
I get that, but I'm just saying the way – you're right. But his numbers and just the way that some people look at him and are like, oh – you know, it's just
why this documentary will be good. Because, right, yeah, a lot of these young kids, right,
they don't know
Vince
what happened
Carter
5 years
up long
ago.
Threes right. And all that, right. So it'll be good. Kind of like The Last Dance. I mean, obviously, they knew more about Jordan, but The Last Dance, you know, it introduced them to Michael Jordan.
Big time.
And, yeah, and this thing hopefully will do the same thing about Vince Carter.
Kenny Smith had a soundbite in the movie where he said, you know, he was mentoring guys that couldn't carry his shoes when he was one of the best players in the league, right? So I think Vince just didn't care. I think Vince cared about mentoring, and I think Vince cares about the game. I mean, he's still involved in the game as a commentator, right, with ESPN, with the local broadcast for Atlanta. So I don't want to speak for Vince Carter, but that's the vibe I got for him.
All right, Burton Chawla, you got to check it out. It's called Vince Carter Legacy, and it's available now. You can watch it for free on Crackle TV. Burton, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys.
Best of luck.
All right, my man. Peace.
Thanks.
More Odd Couple coming your way. Keep it locked. Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I gotta admit, it's grown on me. It's grown on me. Kanye. It's a Worship Wednesday. We're wrapping it up. Rob and Chris live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And Rob, let's finish it with this. You know, there was a lot of hubbub about James Harden's comments before the season. He sat down with Malika Andrews over at ESPN, and he said that, you know, he's not signing a contract extension right now with the Nets. And he said he's looking forward to being – he's never really been a free agent. He's looking forward to it. He said, admitted it'd be hard to leave KD and Kyrie in the Nets. But, you know, he's just looking forward to being a free agent. He came out before last night's game, Rob, and said, Rob G, read us his quote from last night before the game.
Honestly, I'm just focused on getting healthy, getting my body right, and then preparing for a great season. The contract, the money's going to be there. I don't plan on leaving this organization and the situation that we have, so my focus, honestly, is just focus on the season and then winning a championship. The contract and all the other stuff will bear itself out.
The point people are focusing on is I don't plan on leaving this organization. Go ahead.
No, I think he said it perfectly. That's you're not locked in anything. You're not lying to anybody. His plan, he said, is not to leave. That doesn't mean that things could change, Chris, or whatever, but he's going to be a free agent. He wants to go through that process. But he says, I think that that's a smart, honest answer without locking yourself in or misleading people or making some drama, you know, like I'm out of here after this year, no matter what. Like, I don't think people want to hear that. So I think that that's a great answer. If you're the Nets, you got to be happy with it and you put it to rest. The contract will take care of itself.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, it makes financial sense for him to wait. He can make, I don't know what the exact numbers are. I think it's Rob G, you might know him. I think if he signs now, he could sign like a contract for about $170 million. If he waits till after the season, it goes well over $200 million. Well over. Like, I think his last year he'd make over $60
That's easy
million.
Math, right. That's yeah, easy
yeah.
math.
Yeah, yeah. So it just makes all the sense in the world. And Rob, what I like about it, is he when he says, I don't plan on leaving this organization, like you said, it's not completely definitive where it's like, okay, he's locking himself in. And so if something goes wrong, something happens, you know, who knows what it could be, and it just leaves a sour taste in his mouth about Brooklyn, he can still leave and say, look, my plan was to stay, but, you know, who foresaw that, you know, right? But it's a strong enough statement that it puts it to rest. It's not controversial now. It's not like every day people are going to be asking, wow, well, Harden said, you know, he's iffy or, you know, right. He might leave or, you know, and it becomes a season-long controversy. So I just think he handled it well. Now it's done. He said he's not planning on leaving. People probably won't be asking him about it for a long time, if at all, this season. So now they can just focus on trying to win this championship.
I think he nipped it in the bud, Chris. I really do. I think he was handled it well. The Nets should be happy. And you could just go ahead and play and not have to, again, reporters doing their due diligence. Because, you know, as a reporter, Chris, covering a team, if that was hanging out there every so often, you got to go, hey, James, have you changed your mind?
Absolutely.
You never know. The guy might give you something, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You just don't know. So you have to keep asking him. And now it's kind of like I put that to rest and don't bother me with that.
I know it's one game, but you have any concerns about the Nets from what we saw last night? And them winning the championship. I mean, we know they're going to be good, but them winning it all.
No. I mean, of course you want to win the game, have a better showing. Bucks are the champs. They're playing at home. It ain't the end of the world. I just don't look at it that way. Now, I'm going to take a look at them for the first 20 games, and then I'll have a better feel. But if they would have won last night, that didn't mean that they were going to win the championship.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I can't look at one game like that. The only difference when I looked at the Lakers and them is that the Lakers were at home, and I just was surprised that with Steph not being Steph and no Clay, and just the way that I thought, and LeBron and AD playing well, Chris, that they lost. That, I think that's what is the difference to me.
Yeah, I think with the Nets, I mean, look, with Kyrie, they're more of an overwhelming favorite. But they're still a favorite. Now, they're not, it's not like there's no way they're not going to win if they're healthy. You know what I mean? Because Milwaukee's legit. We'll see if the Lakers can get it together. Obviously, they got plenty of talent. But the Nets, yeah, I still, obviously, I picked them to win it all. And like you said, one game doesn't change anything. But it's going to be like Milwaukee's tough. They play with a championship swagger, Rob. I think they, you know, they just got better just from having won it and knowing that they can win it. We thought that Anthony Davis would have that last year. He didn't.
And it didn't happen. Right.
And I can credit to Giannis and those guys because it was only one game, but they look like they have it, right? They're big, too. The Nets aren't as big as them or the Lakers. But with the Lakers, they'll be able to, I think the Lakers are going to have trouble guarding them because, you know, they just not as fast and athletic. And Milwaukee last night was on fire from three, Rob, especially early. Like, that's not going to be.
Sometimes there's nothing you can do, Chris. You know what I mean? When people are knocking down shots, it's just hard. And you know, so they were hot. Yep. They played well. And we'll see how Brooklyn is. Like I say, let's talk 20 games into the season. I think we'll have a good feel for these teams.
Well, look, Brooklyn, certainly could have beaten them last year with Harden hampered and no
Absolutely.
Kyrie.
Absolutely.
And
no
so
doubt.
To think they can't beat them now without Kyrie, but with a healthy Harden, I think is
because Milwaukee barely beat them, and they were one-third of themselves.
Right. All right, it's the Odd Couple signing off. Go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, download, subscribe, 5 stars, and a nice comment. Keep it locked right here for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon. It's the Odd Couple signing off. Peace!